Let's turn in God's Word to Matthew and chapter 11. And in Matthew chapter 11, we are reading verses 1 through 30. In Matthew chapter 11, and beginning in verse 1, God's people, these are the words of the living and true God. They are not only perfect and infallible, but they are applicable to our lives. Now it came to pass, when Jesus finished commanding his 12 disciples, that he departed from there to teach and to preach in their cities. And when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, "Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me." As they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Indeed, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, and more than a prophet, for this is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.' Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist, but he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, and if you're willing to receive it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has an ear, ears to hear, let him hear. To what shall I liken this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to their companions and saying, 'We played the flute for you, and you did not dance, and we mourned to you, and you did not lament. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look, a glutton and a wine bibber, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is justified by her children.' Then he began to rebuke the cities in which most of his mighty works had been done because they did not repent. 'Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven, will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say to you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you." At that time Jesus answered and said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And those are God's words. Very good words to introduce the topic of the sermon tonight in preaching, because we see here Jesus preaching. But Jesus, after setting apart the disciples as apostles, he does go and he starts preaching. And Jesus preaching, someone had heard that he was preaching. He had such authority in his preaching that it had come to John the Baptist, who was not there hearing him preach, but he was there in prison. Word had come to John there in prison. And John questions whether Jesus is the coming one. That is Jesus the Messiah? And Jesus responded with the signs and miracles that he had done that were promised in the Old Testament by the prophets to accompany the coming Messiah. And so you see there in verse 5, those things were promised throughout the Old Testament of what the Messiah would do. And then through verse 15, understanding is granted to us concerning John the Baptist, who is the last prophet before Christ came. Also, we learn something here about something that we'll hear in the sermon this evening, about what a prophet looks like. It is not one who wears soft garments, but soft clothing, soft garments are those who belong in king's houses. And as we think of John the Baptist, the last prophet before Christ came, who, if you look back verse 14, it says he is the Elijah who is promised to come. And so you see very similar things about Elijah and John the Baptist, very similar things about them both when you look at how they're described in Scripture. And then through verse 24, description of the current generation of Jesus' day who were not receiving John's ministry nor Jesus' ministry and a call to repent. They were not repenting. Even though all these signs and wonders were being done in their midst, they were not repenting. And so because of this, they are rebuked. They are promised to be cursed because Christ had come. John the Baptist had come, but not just John the Baptist, who's the greatest amongst all the prophets. Jesus, the prophet, has come. But not only the prophet, also the priest and the king. And still they have not repented. And we might say, compared to Sodom and Gomorrah, these people had more reason to repent. And then Jesus gives thanks to the Father, who has hidden such things to many and revealed things to others. And why is this? We get that question. We ask that question of ourselves sometimes. Why did God reveal this to us, His children? And the answer is because it was good in the Father's sight. Because of His eternal love for us, if we go back to Romans 9. It's because of who He is, not because of anything in us. And the last verses are the gracious invitation to all poor sinners to come unto Christ, to be ruled by Christ, to be taught by Christ, and to be saved by Christ. And one commentator said this about the chapter: nowhere have we more of the terror of gospel woes for warning to us, or of the sweetness of gospel grace for encouragement to us, than in this chapter, which sets before us life and death, the blessing and the curse. Let's pray. Our Father, as we come and as we continue worshiping You, we are reminded here of the great prophet, John the Baptist. He's not perfect. Well, what a great prophet he was in calling sinners to repentance, to look to Christ for their salvation, and any hope that they might have only to be found in Jesus alone. It's the same promise to us today of He who is that great prophet, Jesus Christ, promised from Deuteronomy 18 and here fulfilled in the Gospels and fulfilled in Jesus Himself. And so we're thankful that He has come. And he speaks to us, he preaches to us, and calls us to repent of our sins. And so, Father, turn us from our sins unto your Son, Jesus Christ, that we would not be found under the curses like are found here of Bethsaida and Chorazin and others, Father. Not that we deserve. We do deserve to be under the woe, the curses, the promise, the warnings. But Father, may it not be of us or of our children. And so, Father, bring us all to your throne. Make us all to bow the knee, even by your Spirit, to move us by your grace to call upon the only name under heaven by which we must be saved. That is the name of Jesus Christ. As he calls us to come, Father, give us the grace to come by your Spirit. And so help us and guide us and build us up and encourage us in Christ your Son. Father, we praise you this day that you have brought us thus far and that you have seen fit to assemble us together. We're thankful as we have missed Phil and Julie and Mark. We're thankful they are here this evening. We give you praise for this. We're thankful that as we look back over the many months of struggle under the current circumstances of this last part of the year, the first part of the year, Father, you have seen fit to continue to assemble us together. And even now here, join together with those who weren't with us before, and that's only by your grace, and we praise you for it. We praise you for your mercy. We praise you for how you've led us and guided us, though we probably didn't listen at times. And Father, forgive us of that. Might not have been the wisest decisions at times, but Father, you've upheld us nonetheless, and we praise you for this. And Father, we give you all praise. We ask that your name would be exalted in the heavens and in the earth and under the earth, and that every knee would bow, as we heard this morning, to Christ your Son. Father, we pray that you would bring back Arian to us and Levi, that they would make it back safely tomorrow and by tomorrow. And Father, we ask that you would continue to uphold those who work in these times and give them safety and good health and keep us from temptation and evil and sin. And Father, build us up in communion with your Son, Jesus Christ, that we would know him and love him and pursue him as that bride in the Song of Solomon ran after Christ. And when she couldn't find them, she kept looking. Christ, of course, was there all along. And he is with us now, who will never leave us nor forsake us. And so, Father, we ask that we would not sin against him, but seek communion with him. And even we seek communion now as we worship together as the body of Christ. Build us up and strengthen us. Grow us in number for your glory, and grow us in sanctification, all so that your name would go forth and we would evangelize, that we would tell people about the gospel, each one of us, from the youngest of our children to the oldest amongst us, that we would tell of the glorious gospel and salvation that is found alone in Jesus Christ. That the only hope of this world would be heard in the ears of the wicked of the world, and many would believe, all of your elect, and they would number as the sand on the seashore and be of a multitude of nations. as you promise to us. And so we trust your promises. You will be faithful. This will come about. So bring it about, we pray. And we ask for your help, even now as we continue worshiping you, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.